Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right, 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right? Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need two to three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling rivalry.
No, no.
Sibling rivalry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling rivalry.
That's good.
Do it again. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, your levels are lower. You talk so quiet.
Oh, well, I mean, can I turn up my volume?
Well, that's what I'm doing in here.
Oh, I can talk louder.
Yeah, but you always try to talk in this sort of like sultry voice.
What?
Like right now, your microphone is 17 feet from your mouth.
Because I was taking a sip of my coffee.
But your voice does, you do have different voices.
So do you.
Not really.
Oh my God, yes you do.
You for sure have different voices for different friends. Like you have, you know, 5, 6, whatever, like really great friends. I would bet money
that you could tell.
Yeah, that based on how you are talking
right
to that person, I could guess what friend it is. For sure.
Probably. Then why do you always ask? I was like, who is that?
Well, because I'm curious if I'm right.
Oh.
You know, but you talk to Jackie a certain way. You talk to Robin for sure a certain way. Lori, you know, Nusheen, okay. Sam, everyone. Like you have a different thing. And then when you're ordering food or you're doing... You're having a call that requires sort of you to be friendly. I mean, your voice goes way up, very high octave.
Like what?
It just gets high, you know. And then ordering, when you're ordering food too. Mm-hmm. That's my pet peeve.
My voice gets high?
No, you're ordering.
Oh, my ordering, I know.
Ugh. I mean, I love you.
But not really.
I'll preface this. It's early.
It's really early. You're already starting with like your pet peeves about me. This is not going to be good.
We just dropped the kids off at the pool.
You did.
Together.
I together. I'm not an early morning person.
It's an AM podcast for sure.
I thought you were like coming at me right now with like pet peeves. I was going to start to get angry.
Well, we can get into pet peeves if you want.
I don't think it's a good idea.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just saying like a little cranky in the morning.
No, but it's interesting because I think in relationships, or at least you and I, we each have pet peeves, but they're minor, meaning it's not deal breaking shit, but
right.
There are still things that you do or that I do that you don't acknowledge in the moment because it's just part of what I do and you live with it.
Chewing in bed at night.
Right. So let's go over these. What are some of yours for me?
The chewing.
We'll explain.
Well, you're like a very dramatic chewer in general. It's not that your mouth is open. You chew with your mouth closed, but it's very like exaggerated and loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times like you'll get in bed and be crunching on chips or like chewing on things.
While you're trying to sleep?
Well, I don't know, or read or do something. And I look over and it's maybe because it's like we're in bed and it's extra quiet, but it always feels so loud.
Right.
And I know you're sometimes I'm like, is he doing that to annoy me on purpose? Because like sometimes you do like to do that.
Well,
you like to annoy me a little bit sometimes. I don't really like to do that to you, but just in general, you do. Sometimes you like to like push buttons.
Yeah, that's my personality though. So chewing.
Like in bed at night, yeah, like when it's quiet. And you're...
Thing is, I know that it's loud. I know that it's
loud. But that's like not a big deal, you know? And then, you know, my other one is like shaving in the sink.
The shaving.
Yeah. But you've been getting better. You really have. You try and like put down a towel. And I don't know if anybody else has this, but it's like an electric razor. And the hair Manscaped?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the hair goes everywhere. And we have like a white counter and a white sink, and then it's down on the floor and it gets into the crevices of the tiles. And like, I can't stand that and the hair, and it's always a mess. And it's usually like on a day that, like, you know, I've just like cleaned up and everything looks nice. And then it's like, and I look in and it's like a black, like, nest of like shaved hair, like in the sink, on the counter. And then it's like, somehow it gets onto like, you know, the toothpaste holder and like the floor. And I don't like to like walk in. It's just very hard to like clean up.
Right. I get that.
You know what I mean?
Are you ever not in the bathroom and then all of a sudden you're like,
oh, yeah, like, they know. Oh, and I'm like, shit. Oh, no. Yep. But you try now, you try and put down a towel. And I get it. You definitely try.
Well, here's the thing. What else am I going to do? Where am I supposed to do that? I can't go outside. Like, where am I supposed to shave my beard?
You know what I did see, though, once on, like, an Instagram ad or somewhere? Is, like, a net thing that, like, goes over your sink. Someone invented it. I'm sure it was, like, you know, some wife or partner that created it because they couldn't stand it.
I mean, it is insane. I mean, there are hairs that fly in crazy
everywhere.
Directions.
They're little, yeah. And they're hard to pick up. Like, I don't know, maybe like in the shower, we get like a mirror on the wall and you can do it in there. Not when it's showering, like the shower isn't on.
Oh, so just like step into a dry shower.
Step into the shower before you're going to shower. Have like a mirror stuck on the wall. You know how sometimes you have that?
Yeah.
There's like the sticky mirrors. So you can see it and you do it. And then you just clean yourself and all the hair. It's kind of great.
Okay.
I'm actually glad we had this discussion.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, I get that. I get that.
My ordering, what happens too now is like, because I know that you don't like it.
I know.
And then it makes me extra nervous. And then
pressure.
It's even harder to make a decision.
Well, it's just, I have this anxiety around waiters and, you know, or people who are in the service industry who are, I know they have 1,000 other tables that they're trying to get to. There's an order of things.
Yes,
in the kitchen.
I was a waitress. I know. I get it.
No, I know.
I'm always so polite and so nice.
You're amazing. I'm just explaining myself. You know, I have an issue with not just you, but people when the waiter comes around to take an order It's like, what about the mac and cheese? Like, I mean, well, what about the salmon? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm just sitting there like, oh my God, this person needs to get to the next table. Like, fucking let's get the order in and go.
But would you rather worry about that person getting to the next table or me ordering the wrong thing and then being like disappointed or annoyed?
Yeah, no,
or
I understand,
like,
you need to prep, order prep. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we're at a restaurant. Boom. I know what's up. Like the waiter's coming around and I know what's going on.
You know? But sometimes I don't. I get scared. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm like trying to make a decision on what I want. And then it's like, I have an indecisive problem. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
An issue. I'm always afraid to like make the wrong decision. I mean, it could literally be like, do I want like pink gum, like bubble gum or mint?
And then, no, I know.
You know, nowadays
very,
I just grab
very,
both
because
I'm like,
I'm indecisive, but I make a choice or a decision to then fucking boom, make a choice.
Yeah. And half the time you're like pissed with your meal order. You're like, why did
I get
this? Well,
it's not just food. I'm just saying in general. I mean, I have indecision, but you know, I make a choice to be like, okay, fucking just do it. I mean, in the last couple of days, I've been in clean mode, throwing things out that I have kept for years, but I just be like, throw it away. Don't think about it. Throw it away. Don't think about it.
Or give it away. We're not throwing it away, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I give away the things that I can give away.
No, but I know what you mean. You're much more better at that. And it also does feel good when you do make a decision. It's like, ah, I did it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But I like to make decisions like when it comes to planning and you don't.
I'm not a planner. I do not like to plan. I like spontaneity.
But you realize with the family and plane tickets and travel and packing and all the things that I do that you don't have to think about, take planning.
No.
Camping,
I mean, no, to be
things,
serious, to get
like
serious for a
kind of
second,
stuff.
To get serious for a second. That is something that I think about, you know, that I do tell you. But the little things that you do, and I think this is probably relatable in a lot of relationships, you know, the things that get taken for granted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to be something nice you're going
to
say?
Oh, yeah. The shit that you have to take care of are the things that you do, the small things to make the whole thing run, things that I could never do.
Like
it's
what?
Amazing. I mean, it really is just
thanks,
the little things.
Babe.
No, I think about it, you know, and I think that the kids don't understand that either.
Mm-mm.
You know, they need to understand like all those little things that go into making their life
sucks.
Easier.
You know, everything.
You know?
I know. It's so true. Well, I like to be organized. I'm like not an organized person, but I crave it. You know, so
yeah, you're an interesting human being. There's great juxtaposition going on. Like you
Mom and Dad,
need
like,
organization, but you
don't know how to do it.
You can't do it. Yeah.
I can't. My favorite store, like in the world, one of them anyways, you know what it is.
The Container Store.
Container store. I get giddy when I see it, when I walk in. I usually end up buying and, you know, hundreds of dollars of worth of like organizational products, and then they come home and then they just sit here because I don't know how to do that.
The amount of bins that we've had in our 20 years of being together, I mean, you could stack those, you know, 30,000 feet in the air. We've had so many bins. It's crazy.
No, I know. It's a hard one. I like, you know, a couple of like my best friends in the whole world are literally borderline OCD, like organized. And I envy it. You know, there's no clutter. There's no like piles in their house. And there's no, you know, I look at things sometimes and I just don't have that part, you know, that gene that like where everything goes and it goes in its place. Now, when I do that, it's amazing. It's just keeping it up. I'm not great at that part, but.
So why is the house always so chaotic?
Well, because first of all, I'm the only one because no one else would ever do anything. Like, think about the things that just sit on the stairs. Does anybody else have this? Okay, we have an upstairs. And there, everything that gets brought down during the day or from the kitchen to go upstairs, let's say, or from upstairs, toys and things like that that get brought down. No one puts anything away. Like, that's one thing.
Well, shit just gets draped over things.
Over things. It's like on a chair, on a countertop. Like, you know, things don't get put back in their place, really. I mean, Wilder now, finally at 14, like, keeps his shit.
Well, he cares about his room.
Yeah. But what he does is, like, his space looks amazing. I mean, he's literally, like, organized and is, you know, he likes to clean it all up and make everything look great.
Yeah, but outside anything, of his room.
Yes, yeah. That he doesn't want in his room, he just takes and puts outside of his room in the hallway.
There's like stacks of shit outside of his room.
That's so funny.
His room's immaculate, but outside of his room.
His room's like the best room in the house right now.
For sure, it's beautiful. But everything he doesn't want just stacked up right outside of his door.
I know. Well, it's hard with kids. I mean, honestly, like three kids, two dogs.
No, I know. And this is the way we live.
For us. This is the way we live. It's the way we live. Other people can do it and be organized.
We sometimes get overwhelmed by the kids' frat house that we live in, honestly. But that's just the way we fucking do it.
Of course.
I mean, you look at our friends who have three kids who have a nice, clean, adult home.
It's not us.
We don't have that.
Like,
but
right
there's
now,
a reason for it. You know what I mean? Like,
like it's my fault or?
No.
No.
I mean.
But like I can't. Here's the thing. It's like we live out of laundry baskets because I feel like all I do is say laundry between teenage boys, like, you know, workout clothes, towels, you know, everything.
So how do other people do it? How do our friends?
I don't know. Like, I just don't have time to, like, fold laundry and put it away. So I have clean baskets and dirty baskets. And then it's just like...
a free-for-all.
Yeah, it's like, this is a clean basket of clothes. Get in there and, you know...
get what you
deal
need.
With the wrinkles. Get what you need. It's like, who has time for that? Like, the other thing is, and I'm sure, like, a lot of moms feel this way too, but, like, by the time, like, the kids go down is when you think, like... and this is how some people do work. That's when they like clean up and tidy up and I'm done at that point. My bed is calling me. I want to do nothing but like not be needed and just like, you
I know,
get in bed and it's like done. So if I don't get stuff done during the day, but then, and I'm not complaining, it's just a funny thing, but it's like if you clean one room and then you go into the next, all of a sudden you come back and it's like the chaos of the day. Backpacks, snacks, you know, art projects out on the table, like, you know, whatever it might
be. It's impossible to get ahead.
Yeah. And we travel a lot. So like right now, sitting next to us is our bags from
Colorado.
The weekend. No, from Laguna.
Yeah.
In 1 week, we were in Colorado on a Sunday, Albuquerque, New Mexico, down to Laguna for the weekend, and then back home, first night of school.
Yeah.
So I still have bags because I come in and I'm like, I don't need anything in that bag for this next trip because it's a different place.
No, I know.
And then the unpacking of the bags. But like literally one of my best friends, Sam, we came home from the same trip and I said to her, I made it, said something like, oh, you know, I'm just going to be unpacking tomorrow. And she's like, wait, are you forgetting who I am? She's like, I'm already unpacked because she literally gets home, takes out the suitcases and unpacks immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Ours will sit for weeks.
Well, that's the difference. Like, that's the difference between us and them.
I know.
Just them meaning collective,
in
the
general,
collective them,
know,
the general them.
I know.
You know, who do that stuff. Like, we just let that shit sit because we get home and it's like, all right, let's just chill for
a
second.
Just chill.
Let's just chill for 10 days.
Another funny one?
And then we'll get to it.
So Danielle Santoro McGinnis.
She's a friend.
Yes. Did a post or something like a long time ago. And I laughed because I was like, oh my God, I so get this. Like our bed in the morning, like a lot of people will make their bed. And I think it's the center of the bedroom. If the bed is a mess, the rest of the room kind of feels like a mess, right? Even if your side tables are messy or there's laundry or whatever. And, but like, I'm not making my bed in the morning. I'm rushing around trying to get kids ready for school, whatever. But she was like, am I the only one that before I get in bed at night, I will make the bed.
You do.
I do. No, but Danielle did this and she did a post. And I remember like literally being like, oh my God, there's another person on the planet that does this, which is I like a tidy looking bed, mm-hmm. you know, tighten the sheets up, pluff. Put your pillows already, get the comforter straightened, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then it's like nicer to get into.
I get that. I wouldn't do that, but I get it. Like, I look at it.
Imagine if I saw you doing that one.
Oh my God, I'd get so laid.
You really would.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. Your clothes as soon as you start off, like organizing things and doing life.
Your clothes would be 100% off.
Yep.
You know.
I'd be, bent over the bed.
Yeah,
ready.
100%. If you just randomly walked in and I'm like, you know, fucking bouncing quarters off the bed, like making it tight. I love that you're laughing so hard because it's like something I would never do. No, I mean, when you're not here, you're on girls' weekends or whatever. Like, I, you know.
Oh, the house.
Oh, I don't
get it.
No, but see, that's not true. No. I want to go on record here. When I'm alone, I clean.
Which means you mean your cleaner isn't here, me.
No. Meaning, you know, I don't like to live in filth. Mm-mm. So when you are gone, like I am much more proactive. I'm cleaning.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
And then I always try to make the house look nice for when you come back.
I know, you do. Because that's one of our love languages.
Yeah.
I think it's the most underrated.
Oh, yeah.
Genius, like relationship-saving book out there. The five languages of love.
No,
Do yourself a favor.
It's simple and
it's
very
so
accurate.
Simple. And once you read it and really get it and actually...
Yeah, he was on this podcast.
I know. Yeah. I know. I wish she was here with us right now.
I know.
Because...
I know. Speaking of that, physical touch, which is mine.
Getting back to you.
Yeah. You know,
I've been slacking a little bit.
I mean,
not
you know,
really a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. You know, you just, it's not your deal. You're not touchy feely, just generally.
Well, I'm affectionate.
No,
it's not like I'm like,
I know,
but let's,
I'm
okay,
just saying,
hold on. Let's be honest. Would you agree that you are very needy in the affection area? So I am like an affectionate person, but I need to do a lot more than I do for you because it is your love language.
I mean,
I'm like rubbing your back and your head, and like I come over and I cuddle on you.
You do?
Well,
I mean,
the last 5 months, what you've been going through, I haven't been like,
you've been
rubbing on you, scratching your head.
You've
like,
been good. You've been good.
Yes.
You've been good, but I will say this.
I could do better?
No.
Okay.
It's been like maybe 2 weeks since I've been, you know, a 10 being 100% back to myself.
Right.
I'm at a 9.
Yeah.
Like I still have some shit, but I'm pretty much back, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so once you saw me
back,
you're like, all right, my job is done. You're like, oh, he's back? Oh, he does. Oh, good. Fuck. Finally. I don't need to deal with that
but
anymore.
Also our last 2 weeks, I've been packing up after living somewhere for an entire summer.
It's not even about taking 30 minutes out of your day to like cuddle me. It's the small things.
No, but it's also like
I reach
my mind
over
is
in
somewhere
bed,
else.
You know, every day, morning, evening, and I just touch you.
Yeah. Let's see how I do from now until the next podcast in the affection area because it is your love language. I need to, you know, but here's the thing. It doesn't come, you know, say naturally to me. I have to remember it. This is like where the thing comes in. It's work. Like yours for me, you know what it is. And it's you have to make a conscious effort to, you know. Yeah.
But I like doing it. I like acts of service where I didn't before. Once we got into this sort of love language thing or understood that people accept, you know, receive and give love in a certain way, or there's certain aspects of that connect with them more. Once we sort of understood that, I had to force myself. It's like anything else. You fake it before you make it. Mm-hmm. You can actually change your brain chemistry.
Yep. Joe Dispenza.
If you just fucking hammer it, even if you're not feeling it, even if it's like, this isn't inherently who I am, but I know my partner likes this and you have to get through it. And then you start to like it.
I know.
And so for me, acts of service in the beginning was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, what am I doing? And this is, but now I like it. There's a satisfaction mm-hmm. that I get.
Mm-hmm. For opening the car door for me. And like coming.
Yeah, I've been doing that more.
I know, I love it. But or how about like when I have the groceries and I don't have to ask you to like come help me and you just do it? Like
I know that. Babe. But the thing is I would do that so if happy. I didn't if I knew you were coming home. You know what I mean? Like you right. usually call me and you're like, I'm here with the groceries. So I'm like, okay, let's go. I don't have a chance to do that. But the car door thing is interesting because that's old school.
I know.
But it's not really. And I mean, to be blunt, I've never opened car doors, you know, for you. Or it just never even crossed my mind. Just like it never crossed my mind to ask your dad.
Right.
For your hand in marriage. Then it wasn't even a thought.
Right. Well, you didn't grow up with that kind of stuff.
I didn't. I really didn't. Really. Your dad is way more old school and he still opens car doors for your mom. I mean, that's
traditional. Yeah.
Traditional. So, yeah, I had to. But I feel insecure about it. I feel like, oh, God, like there's a weird vulnerability. To be like, yeah. Here you go. Because I know you're going to be like, oh, and then I feel patronized and I'm like, ah, fuck.
No, but it's not like an awe, like a patronizing. It's like, oh, like,
you're like, oh, thanks, babe. I'm like,
what's the movie, like Singles or something where like she gets in first and then.
And he locks the door.
Yeah, and locks the door. And then.
If he unlocks the door.
Yes, like she reaches over and unlocks for him. Yeah, like it's just that, those cute little like romantic gestures I love. Like I don't know. Yeah, I just had like a gentleman dad. Like I love that.
I know.
Stuff. But you also had a super like independent mom that like did everything and didn't need anything. Yeah. And, you know. Like do things like when I ask you to do things around the house, like it's not like I can't do them, but sometimes I'm just like, can you change the light bulbs? Or, you know, I like
Which by the way,
we need to do
78% of our lights are out.
No, we've been gone all summer and the lights were on.
No, that was a turning point in our relationship.
The light bulbs.
Yeah, remember that? That was 4 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yep.
You cried.
Yep.
Literally cried to me. Cried because I didn't do the light bulbs. But it was deeper than that, meaning like she asked and asked, and I just, that was part of my turning point of like, okay. Acts of service.
Well, you always say you were going to, and then it became like me nagging, and then it was like an issue, and I'm like, don't say you're going to do it if you're not going to. Like, you know, it dug in deeper. It wasn't about the...
And then you cried.
The light bulbs, and then I did. I think I cried a little bit.
You're like, just don't do the light bulbs. You just fucking do the goddamn light bulbs.
Like, translation, you don't care about me. Yeah.
Coors Light, official beer of slowing down summer. I kind of feel like it's always the shortest season. And then you have to make the most of it. And everybody's rushing. All we have to do is just chill out.
I still feel like I'm in eighth grade. When summer comes around, I just stop answering calls. I'm on summer break.
So you can pop open your little Coors Light. It's cold, lagered, cold filtered, cold packaged. It's crisp, refreshing as our own Colorado Rocky Mountains.
And as the beer that is literally made to chill, we want you to savor every second of summer. Rediscover and enjoy what makes summer awesome. Don't give up yet. We've got a couple weeks left.
And it helps us slow this shit down. So we love Coors Light. I know you out there love... Who doesn't love a Coors Light?
You all know my love for Coors Light. You know my dedication to Coors Light.
We love them as one of our sponsors of this show. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go put my feet up and crack open a crazy cold Blue Mountain, ready to go, Coors Light.
Coors Light is the official beer of slowing down summer because as the beer that is made to chill, we want you to savor every second of summer. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Hudson. CoorsLight.com/Hudson. Do it. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Lots of things can make your workouts hard. Okay? Extra resistance, double speed, one more mile. Your socks shouldn't. And that's why Bombas performance socks are built to be nothing but comfortable and supportive. They've taken all the amazing innovations that make Bombas the most comfortable socks you've ever worn, and then they added their special Hex Tech performance technology.
It's a performance sock stitched with special moisture wicking yarn, temperature regulating vents that allow cool air to flow in and prevent overheating. They come with a pillow-like tab to save you from blisters, stay-up technology, a special arch hugging system, and an extra layer of cushiony comfort on the bottom for the perfect amount of support. And let me tell you something, I feel all of that when I have this sock on.
Socks have gotten technical, guys. All right. It's no longer just putting on your dad's tube sock.
And like all of their socks, the best part is that for every pair of performance sock you buy, they donate a pair to someone in need. They've donated over 45 million pairs so far. I feel like Bombas is the best sock of all time. I've been using these socks forever. It's always in stockings. Every time I've had, Santa loves to bring Bombas to our family.
So go to bombas.com/sibling today and get 20% off your first order. That's B-O-M-B-A-S, bombas.com/sibling for 20% off. bombas.com/sibling. I want to get back to
marriage.
I want to get back to the bed situation for a second, because sometimes the bed looks beautiful and you make it and it's like, ooh, and it's not a freshie. You know what I mean?
Does everybody know what a freshie is?
A freshie, well, it's like a brand new clean bed where it's
like brand new sheets put on right before bed. It's like, oh my God, it's called a freshie.
But it can be deceiving because it looks like a freshie and then you get in it. And the kids have been in it eating fucking crackers and cookies.
The kids? Because there's no crumbs on my side of the bed. Literally, Wilder came in yesterday and he was like,
what are you saying?
He went to like cuddle with me like in bed and he's like, ah. And he like jumps up and I was like, what? And he's like, there's like crumbs all over dad's side. And I was like, yep, that's right. I was like,
okay.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
There's crumbs.
Yep.
So you're saying I put the crumbs there for the most part.
I mean, I definitely don't eat chips in bed. Maybe some chocolate snacks or something.
Right. I'm just a snacker late
night.
You
are a late night snacky. Yep.
I know. So maybe I do put the crumbs in the bed, but I get in the bed and it's just like sleeping in crumbs.
Oh.
Oh, it's not good.
It's the worst. There is no sleeping in crumbs. You have to get up and at least like swipe them out.
Swipe or no swiping. Yeah.
It's not good. You got to tighten the sheet because usually the sheet, you know, is coming off the corners a little bit. Mm-hmm. Tighten the sheet, kind of fluff the pillows. Get your pillows situated. You always steal mine when you're watching TV, and then I have to yank them out from underneath you before bed.
That's another pet peeve. I can't stand that.
I know, but you got to realize, like, if you're on my, sleeping with my, you know, watching TV with my pillows, I'm going to take
them.
Sharon
is like a pillow insane person. Like, she knows, if she put a blindfold on and you put 25 pillows in front of her, and she could pick out the 6 that she uses without looking. She could just pick them. Feel them, smell them, and pick the 6.
I'm not like smelling them, but I do know my pillows.
You know your pillows. And so sometimes I'll have pillows on my side that I'm sort of, you know, into a show and I'm just sort of, oh, I'm so cozy. And all of a sudden, they just get yanked out from under my neck. I'm like, ka-ging, 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 and all of a sudden I'm lying flat on my back. I'm like, sorry. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I know. I honestly, we got to figure out the pillow situation. I got to like.
Yeah, my pillows suck lately.
Well, I also like a little firmer, like big pillow. You like floppy, like down. So it's like.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to figure it out.
I know.
We got lots to figure out now.
I know. We do. No, we don't.
Well, we started with pet peeves. You only got into one, which is my ordering.
Yeah, I have a couple more.
Oh. But the ordering thing I do sometimes try and work on, but then I get really nervous because I know that you're like annoyed. And I'm like, I don't know.
I know, but guess what my number one is?
Late.
No. So with the late thing, I'm late-ish too. With Erin, it's like she knows she's late. She accepts that she's late. You accept that you're just a late person. And you're okay, almost okay with it because it's just...
No, because I'm usually rushing around and stressed out. I don't like it. I'm always like, ah! But I like can't find things. It comes down to like organization. You know, where is everything? And at last minute and...
The thing is, you just need so many things to get out of the house.
Yes, I do. That's another problem.
Yeah, but
I have
you
got to
start earlier. You know what I mean? Like... but this is not, this is 40 years in the making. This is not anything new. This is, you said something really interesting to me when we first started dating, actually, because I was dealing with, not in that moment, always sort of dealing with my dad and how that relationship has affected my life and my career and in my relationships and yada, yada. And early on you said, You said, you recognize the issues, but you're not doing anything about it. You're not being proactive, basically. Like, yeah, you get that your dad did this and this is a symptom of your dad not being there and all that, but it's good enough for you just to understand it and know it, but not actually do the work and figure it out. And I was like, oh shit, that's true. You know, which is a whole other topic, but that's similar with you and you're late. It's like, yeah, I know this is who I am, but yeah, it's just, fuck it. It's who I am.
I mean, look, there's a little part of like, at this point, I'm like, these are things, about myself and I try and work on them sometimes. And then other times I'm like, gotta take the good with the bad. The other one is burping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my biggest.
I haven't been doing it a lot lately. Have you noticed?
You do.
Not really. When was the last time?
Oh, babe, you do it all the time. This is an unconscious thing.
Yeah, but...
It's... And by the way, to preface it, it's not even about burping. Like, meaning, like, if you burp, you burp. It's normal. I don't dislike burping, but... You make yourself burp. You know what I mean? And I can see that when you do that.
I haven't done it lately.
I mean, I love you. I don't want you to get mad at me.
Are we getting divorced?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, you have so much credit in this relationship. It's crazy. You've got a lot of credit.
I do. I've been saving up.
Are you attracted to other guys?
Yeah. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I just had like a image of you in like a bar or something. Like,
just like popped into your head?
Yeah.
My God. What was I wearing in the
image?
But
do you and your girls like talk about dudes?
Not like guys do. Do you know what I mean?
Like you have a girls' night tonight. Oh, no, you had it last night. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, do you talk about guys?
Like, besides our husbands?
Yeah.
Not really. Like, unless there's, like, some, like, show or, it's like Brad Pitt's on this or, something and it might come up. But, like, we're not sitting around, like, talking about guys like, men do. There's, like, 10 other things that we're talking about before that. But... You know what I mean? Like, yeah, but of course I find other guys like attractive.
What?
That would be sad and scary if I didn't.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Always. Like, first of all,
it's important.
I think, there's a reality to just because you're in love with someone or attracted to your person doesn't mean that you can't be attracted to other people and also like want to, be like seen as, attractive to other people as well. Do you know what I mean? Like that doesn't really go away. Not that I'm saying, you care less about that, but
no, I know what you mean.
Just in like life. Yeah, of course. I mean, I always have said this. I don't know if I said it in the first podcast too, but like it's hard to be monogamous. It's not the natural state. you know what I mean, of humans. It's like literally, I think, swans and like, you know, geese. One other, I don't know.
That story? Oh, so sad.
Oh my God, that's the worst. Like, I could still cry about it.
Oh, we were in Colorado and this goose, you know, they pair up and this goose in the pond.
No, they pair up and they're
they're mate for life.
Mate for life. Right. Yeah, exactly.
I think geese do, right? Geese and swans.
Well, yeah.
No, I think geese do. If not, they hang out and have babies and then leave. I don't know. But like, anyway, there were two geese and one of them died in the pond. And we were like,
well, they were there every day. So we would like see them. They were like this little couple. We thought that they were a couple. What did we name them? Was it like,
oh yeah,
Brad and Angelina something. Or something? No. Like,
not Brad and Angelina.
No, but it was something like that. It was funny. Right, it was like a,
right.
There was a reason for
and
it.
And one
anyways.
Of them, like, was just floating and dead, and the other one was just, you know, honking and
devastated. And stayed there for like 2 weeks.
Oh my God, we'd go by every day and then check, and he or she, I don't know which one it was, would just stay there and like, wah, wah, I'm like, honk.
Oh, it was like horrible. Heartbreaking.
And then finally,
well, then
he found a,
no, so
she
then,
found another dude, right?
Well, let's just say it was the guy and the wife, you know, died. He was like a widower. And so literally was there every day, like honking and just sitting there and like near the other, you know, dead one, or like waiting for it to come back, whatever it was, mourning. It was horrible. And then we went away. And when we came back, we're like, oh my God, I wonder if he's still there. Mm-hmm. And there was another goose.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, maybe that was a widow and her partner goose died too. And then they found each other.
Oh,
that was the story.
That's the story. That's the children's book.
Yes. And then they like flew off and lived happily ever after. Yeah. And they found each other. I know.
So when you're dealing with, or this, if you have this idea, this concept that, you know, sort of we're not naturally monogamous, which primarily, I guess you're right, because there was just about procreation. I mean, I think there is some hard wiring there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's hard.
And it's been sort of this societal, not pressure, but just it's the right thing to sort of be with one person, at least in this culture. But how do you factor that in?
To what?
Just to your everyday relationship, you know, or how would one factor that in?
Oh,
meaning
it's
just having
everybody.
An understanding of that, if in fact you do believe that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I won't even say like male, female, but I would just say person to person, it's different, you know, like I find comfort in one person in my partner, you know what I mean? And some people don't, and they crave something else, or they get bored, or they're, you know, whatever. But
mm-hmm. That's it, that's all you got.
Well, no, I'm just trying to like articulate it and have it make sense. But I think when you commit to somebody and want to be in a monogamous relationship, like it shouldn't be like hard work. I don't like that at all. You should want to be there, of course, but it just doesn't mean that you're not going to be attracted to somebody else or want to, you know. But generally speaking, if you kind of find, you know, the one or your partner, you don't want to do that.
Well, of course not. But I'm saying that hardwiring or that idea that we're not monogamous, I mean, you take that into account when dealing, you know, or when giving each other sort of room to be attracted to other people and
absolutely.
Not being so judgmental, you know, being like, oh, well, yeah, of course, as long as you're with me.
Right. Well, that was always like my feeling. I was like, go flirt, have fun. Like, you're coming home to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was never threatened or you know, didn't.
I think I'm naturally jealous, you know, in the beginning of all my relationships, all three, and even ours, like,
Oh yeah,
I get hot jealous, and then it subsides. But
yeah,
I need to know everything.
Well, I think you're like, still jealous, you know, way more than me.
Oh yeah, 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 for sure. But I'm saying I needed to know everything. Remember, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I want to know every dude, every detail. I'm just saying I need to know.
No, but here's the other thing, we were friends first, so we did a lot of talking. It's not like most people get into a relationship and don't do that. Mm-hmm. It's more like what happened before us is happened before us, and now moving forward, you were not. You were very much like, you know, needed to know, which I get. I have no problem. But you still bring up things 20 years later that happened like a few years before we were even dating, and it gets you hot and fired. And you're mad.
I'm jealous. Like some dudes like when their girlfriends, wives, whatever it is, when they're attractive people and other men are looking at them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're on display and guys feel proud and like, yeah, I don't like, I want her to look hot and sexy and da da da. I'm the opposite. I don't. You know, when you're in this mode of wearing all these sort of sundresses now with no bras, like, and I love it.
But what about like dudes looking?
I don't know.
Like bothers you?
I don't know.
It's so funny.
I don't like it. It's weird. I mean, 20 years in, it's like, you know, it's like when you used to wear the ponytail, the fake ponytail.
Oh my God, that's
when we first started dating, you wear this fake ponytail thing. You know, that was like sort of long and
it was
sexy,
like an extension
thing.
But like I would just slick my hair, my shorter hair, put it in, and then it looked like this long ponytail.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
It was like hot. I loved it.
It drove me crazy because it looked hot. And I was like, oh Jesus. When she's going out to fucking clubs and bars and I'm not there. I mean, every dude is gonna be looking at her. And I hung up on you one night, remember?
Yes. Oh my God, of course. I was literally with Karen and like Ceci, like going into some like party in like Hollywood. And you were like, you know, what are you wearing or something? And then you're like, is your hair curly or straight? Because I have like curly-ish hair, but sometimes I would straighten it. And you were like asking. And I was like, neither. I have in like my extension ponytail. And you were like, click.
Literally
and you, like,
hung up
on me as we're like walking into the club. I was like, hello? Hello? Boof, 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 boof. Let's go, girl. I'm like, oh my God.
I dare you're that so thing. Bad. I didn't like that thing.
So funny. I might have to bring that thing back.
I know.
Each and every.
So we stink. You know, that's just part of human nature. We sweat, we stink. That's how it works. There's no avoiding it. We have body odor, and our armpits can stink. That's just the way it is. All right. They've had multiple attempts at natural deodorant, but until now, until each and every came into my life, I have never found one that worked. But times have changed, everybody. Each and every, it really, really works. I smell great throughout the whole day.
Amazing. I wear it every day. I have on my sandalwood scent today. There's 10 amazing core scents plus seasonal limited edition scents. You've got 6 simple, safe ingredients. There's no parabens, no artificial fragrances. I love this. It's been found to fight odor as well as sweat. It seems to actually do really well with that, which is very hard because a lot of natural deodorants have a hard time helping you with that. It's vegan, cruelty-free, comes in a sustainable package made from sugarcane.
So we have an awesome deal to get you guys started. 30% off your first purchase of Each and Every. Just go to our special URL, eachandevery.com/sibling, and use promo code SIBLING30. Don't miss out on 30% off. Use promo code SIBLING30 at eachandevery.com/sibling.
I think jealousy is a tough thing in a relationship, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're jealous, but not like...
Oh, no, I'm not extreme. Like, for me, it happens early on. It's a little more extreme, and then obviously it's been 20 years.
I mean, you kind of get jealous sometimes of like my girlfriends, I can tell.
Well,
a little bit.
What do you mean?
A little bit. Elaborate. You know, okay, I'll elaborate, and this is something that I've said. Like, in our relationship, you asked me like one time, like Chris Martin with What's My Passion? That I said sleep.
Did you tell that story?
I think we told it.
On this podcast?
Yeah, we told it. Yeah. But I also like my girlfriends. that's like a thing for me. It's you know,
yeah,
it's a huge part of
it's
my
like
life.
My fishing.
It's like you're fishing. It's like a passion, or it's like a hobby that you have. My spare time away from you or my family is my girlfriends. I love it. Like, and so, you know, just girl time, whatever. But I think sometimes that you get a little like jealous, like when I want to do that or when I'm with them. Am I wrong?
It's not jealousy. I know what you mean. I just like being with you. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. I mean, no, I've gotten better with that. Okay. I've gotten better with that. You know, that's something that we talked about even before I went to Hoffman. Which we haven't even talked about Hoffman on this show, have we?
Oh my gosh.
Like your experience with that, my experience with that.
Crazy.
That'll be the next one. Stay tuned.
Hoffman recap.
For this special episode, going to Hoffman.
And also like the love languages. I want to do those more.
Well, we can incorporate those too.
Okay.
But, you know, that was something that I had to come to terms with. You would go away or have weekends with your girlfriends and I, you know, would get upset by it. You know, not upset, but, you know, I get moody and become like a little
bitch.
Yeah, essentially, yes. For real. You know? I don't know what that is.
I mean,
there's something deeply, there's something deeper from a psychological part. You know, it's just
like I'm gonna have a good time and you're not there.
No, I guess, or you're giving your
time.
You're giving your time and happiness to somebody else, even though that's an irrational thought.
Right.
But still, that's probably what it was. And if we're gonna trace that back, you know, my mom, you know, obviously was a movie star and she was traveling around and, you know, not only that, but then fans would come up to her and want a piece of her, you know? And I remember as a kid hating that. I mean, I could not stand when people came up to her. I still remember the feeling because I still have it today.
I know.
Because it's like almost this residual trigger. But it would drive me crazy. I'm like, at least internally, I'd be like, just leave her the fuck alone. I mean, it was really
a little bit of like, she's mine and I want.
Well, I think so. I think it's like people were taking her attention away from me when I needed it most.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is 20 years of therapy coming out. So, but yeah, that's what it is. So I would attribute my feelings towards you going out with your friends. Maybe there's a similar connection there, but it's something that I had to sort of deal with and get through. And now I'm better, you know, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But no, it was just a thing, you know. And the
like
other thing,
most
too,
of
is,
the time, like, girls have a problem or, you know, now we're getting into all the, like, girls and men and women. This is a general statement, but, like, you know, it's like guys' nights and, like, going, you know, to be with the guys and all that. And, you know, it's funny because, like, I love when you go out with your friends. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, go have fun. Oh, my God, this is great, da-da-da. And then... But you have more of the problem, like when I'm out with my friends.
It's not a problem.
Not a problem.
You know, it's not a problem. But you know, now it's better now. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a thing. It was just sort of like, oh, you know, oh, you're gonna go to Ojai for 2 nights? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's nice. But meanwhile, you go on fishing trips for 10 days.
I have no argument. I mean, I've got no legs to stand on.
And tell me, moms in the out there, when I leave, I set everything up for the weekend or whatever it might be for you. Literally, from play dates to food to everything set and ready.
I know.
Because I love to do that.
It's beautiful and appreciated. But honestly, can I be straight up?
Yeah.
It's overkill. Like, it's almost like you don't think I can handle this when
I think you can. I'm trying to make it a little easier for you.
50 years with them alone. Not to say I wouldn't need you and want you in my life, but like, I can do that shit. Like,
no,
I'm not a dad who is.
Of course you can, but I like to just be like, I'm not leaving you in the dust. Like,
no,
I helped out with a few things.
And that's why it's I never say anything really, because it's like sweet and I know that it's good meaning, you know, but I know. I got it. How many times have I said that?
Like, too
babe,
many.
Babe, I know. I got it. I love you. I got it.
I know. But I like to, like, make sure everything's, like, It's also leaving and being like a kind of controlling-ish micromanagey person is hard to do sometimes because I'm like,
I also, you know, there was a period where, you know, I don't know if we were like just passing ships or just at a lowish point in our relationship, or, you know, you get to see things in your partner that most people don't see, meaning the ups and the downs and the faces that get made and, you know, oh, she's in a bad mood. She's in a good mood. She's this and this and that. She's tired. And I know, and I used to talk to you about this, the minute your friends come around or you could be like pissy or whatever, and you get a call from Jackie and all of a sudden I'm like, what the fuck? And she's, and you're on the phone like, oh my God. I'm like, oh, so she's happy. So I can't make her happy, but her friends can make her happy. And now she's going to go out with her, go with her girlfriends for 2 days and be a and happy as a clam. This isn't now. This is my thinking.
No,
sort of
I remember.
Then. And then she comes home. This is my internal monologue, everyone. Then she comes home and now she's tired because she, you know, drank, did mushrooms. And now it's like, it's like, oh, now she's depleted. And I, this is all the shit that would go through my mind that is just unfair and irrational. I mean, like, I'm not like
okay,
that
so
anymore.
This is, no, not anymore. Thank God. But I think this is a current theme, I would say, which is you kind of like give your best self to somebody else and you're, you know, energy or your time or whatever. And then you come home and you don't have it to give anymore. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So, but what I will say to that, instead of personalizing it, which a lot of times we've had this discussion before, you realize that the day to day of the life isn't so much about your partner. It's just about the responsibilities and, you know, whatever that might be, whether it's, you know, financial, house, cleaning, kids, managing school, like all of the like, ugh, that, you know, goes on. And your friends call and then it takes you out of that for a minute. It's like, oh my gosh, wait, I'm not mom right now. I'm the friend. Or, oh my God, we can talk and laugh about something that, you know, you're not doing. And then you go away and it does feel, or you have a night or you have a birthday or so, whatever. It's like, oh my God, I can leave all of that behind, go laugh, have a good time. But then you are coming back, right? It's like when we do a night or have an anniversary or something, we go and it's like reconnected and amazing. And, you know, you sex and sleep in and you're not in your normal roles. And then you come back and the joke is literally you walk in the door and it's like gone because you're like, oh, we're back.
Yeah.
We're back to like, you know, the dog shit on the thing and, you know, the kids are fighting or whatever.
I mean, it's a respite from your life.
That's just, you know, normal, but I get that, but it's, you can't like personalize. It's not like you're not, I know you don't do this anymore, but
No.
There's an escape. It's like guys and, you know, let's say a husband wants to like go play golf or basketball or workout, or it is the feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm my own person. I'm not responsible. I can leave for a minute.
Well, this is what I love about you. Honestly, it's one of my favorite things. And I think that it's part of what's kept our relationship amazing. And I would strongly suggest both men and women or each equal partners, you know, be able to be independent of each other. There's a codependency that happens in relationships that will fucking kill it. And the most amazing thing about you is that you understand, and I always say this to people, you get that I love the things that I love and they're important to me. My fishing, my big fishing trips, my golf trips, you know, whatever it might be, my mountain biking or whatever it is, it's important to me. So it's not necessarily being away from you, it's fulfilling, you know, something inside of me. It's something that is passionate. And that only makes me a better human being when I'm able to do the things that I love to do. And you have no issue with those things, with me going on a golf course. But I am aware of that. And I try to reciprocate. You know what I mean? It's not just take, take, take. You have to take stock of your relationship. You have to be mindful about your relationship and think. You know, even yesterday when I'm cleaning, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm cleaning. Okay, good. I'm doing my part because I know Erin does her parts and it's time for me to sort of do my parts, you know?
I love that, Poop. I love you. But it is true. Like, this is what I also think too. A, I know that out mountain biking or, you know, fishing or your things that say take you away from me and the family, let's say. I don't look at it like that. I love that you love doing that. I know what it does for you. I also want that in return.
Right.
So you can't, you know, guilt you for going to play golf and you're leaving, but then me want to go and be with my friends right. or, you know, do something. So yep. I always think, oh my gosh, go and do that because I don't want to be a bitch about you doing something like that because then, mm-hmm. you know, how is that fair for me to be like, bye, I'm leaving for the weekend, you know? It's a very like give and take in that area. Mm-hmm. I also love my alone time. You know, we're a very together couple, like all the time, you know? And so sometimes it is nice to be like, ah, I can just be in a zone of not taking care of everybody or, you know, whatever that might be. And I know for you getting out fishing and, you know, golfing or, you know, being with the guys, it is nice sometimes to not be, oh my God, I'm in husband, dad mode, work mode. I can just go and be mm-hmm. mode.
No, it's different. I know. But you know what's so funny is it's with all the people that I know, with all the husbands, with all the men that I know that are in my life, I'd 100% for sure, more than half, I'd say maybe even 85%.
Yeah.
Have these restrictions that get put on them. Oh, I can't right. do that. Or she's, you know, my wife isn't going to let me do that or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I'm always just amazed. I'm
me
like,
too.
That's fucking bullshit. Why? It's not a big deal.
And letting, I mean, that's so crazy. Now, I will say you don't know the backstory, right?
100%. I know.
You know, somebody works all week long and, you know, they're one day on the weekend
right.
to be with the kids or help around the house or do whatever that might be. My thing is my family comes first, right? So as long as that is the theme, you know, and you're making the effort, I think we should all have our own things to do and not be threatened by it. And, you know, I know that's hard for some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's a good point.
Like, there's a feeling
you make a good
like,
point.
Oh,
I mean, I'm speaking from such a personal space. I'm very lucky to be an actor, to work hard, you know, but then have just time off. I mean, I'm always doing shit here and there, but
beyond,
like, I mean,
beyond our situation is not
gig where it's
the norm,
you know, 9 to 5 and you wake up, you know, then it's like, oh, it's the weekend.
It's
like, now I'm out.
Okay.
Sorry,
and this is,
I'm going fishing for the weekend and the kids and your wife are like, you're not fucking going fishing. You haven't seen us all week.
Right. And also I will say this, and I'm sure this will resonate too with people, but you know, being a stay at home mom, you know, it's like, there's somebody that comes home from, say, work at the end of the day, exhausted, you know, dealing with work things and, you know, their mind is somewhere else. They come home and it is the feeling of like, oh, now I have to work again, meaning, mm-hmm. oh, I got to go into, you know, the zone of the kids and helping and, you know, whatever that might be. And it's, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, but as the mom who's been home with kids or babies or, you know, managing all day too, there is relief when your partner comes home at the end of the day. You almost want to be like, oh, you're home here. Take them. Mm-hmm. And that person's coming in mm-hmm. exhausted. Like, wait, I need a minute to myself. Like there's an unwinding time. I mean, the thing is, no matter what the situation is, working, staying at home, that kind of stuff, the general consensus should be respect and acknowledgement of the other person. Because do you remember when, you know, sometimes I think this is a common theme too, people are like battling of like, well, I've been doing this all day. Well, I've been doing that all day. And it becomes this like tit for tat.
We've
and like, well, I'm doing this and I did that.
Yeah.
Instead of appreciating the other person, putting yourself in their shoes and saying, you know, sometimes it's just like, oh my God, I know you've had a really long day. Like, let me, you know, help with this for a little bit. Or remembering to stay as a team and kind of, I think everybody just always wants to be appreciated or acknowledged,
mm-hmm.
whatever that may be. It might be something small, it might be something big, but if there's an appreciation for your partner and what they're doing or an ability to kind of shine a light and say, oh yeah, you know, maybe they weren't working, quote unquote, all day, but right. they were home with the kids all day, which is exhausting on another level.
Yeah.
Managing, feeding, washing, cleaning, you know,
sometimes
tantrums,
it's hard
all that
to,
shit.
To express those things because
you
have
when
to
you're
be,
in it.
Well, no, you have to be vulnerable to sort of say, hey, I right. appreciate you.
No, I know.
And I had to deal with all that, meaning yep. like just lack of vulnerability. I was feeling too vulnerable to even express my gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was hard to look at you and be like, you know what, you're doing an amazing thing. I appreciate everything that you do.
Oh my God,
it was so hard to say that because it
so
made
much.
Oh, I know, but it made when I used to say that things have shifted. But when I used to force myself to say that, which side note, force yourself to say that, even if it hurts and you feel like that fucking feeling, you're like, oh God, I'm being soft. Because that's the other thing from my male sort of perspective or my feeling of masculinity, whatever that means nowadays. But like there was this sort of, I was like too soft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why I felt like, you know, I was being not tough or something crazy where for me to tell you, you know what, you're
it's
an
not
amazing.
It's soft, it's vulnerable.
It's vulnerable, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because also
but
then.
Force yourself to say it.
Right. But I will say this, okay, I'm sure there's some people, you want the reaction to feel good, right? So when you say something like that to me and I say, oh my God, that means so much, babe, I love you, thank you, then it's great. You feel good, everything works. What you don't want is someone to be like, yeah, that's right. Thanks for noticing. Or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like you have to know your partner. Like mm-hmm. a lot of times there's these feelings of resentment and these feelings that build up in people and friends and relationships that I've seen and heard where it is this battle of like, I do this, he doesn't notice, I do all that. And then the other person's like, well, I'm doing this. And you know, it just starts to separate yeah. people and you become resentful and that shit builds up. Best thing you can do is be vulnerable and just lay it out on the table. No matter how much it sucks, it usually brings the other person's guard down. And then there's a feeling of like, oh my gosh, thank you. No, thank you. I love you. No, I love you. I mean, it can literally lead to that kind of stuff.
Oh, and by the way, watch how that changes your sex.
Oh, yeah.
No, for real. You know what I mean? It sounds crazy, but once you open up or once you can get a little more vulnerable, or if it's painful, but just fucking try it and be like, hey, you know what? I've noticed that you've been doing this and I just want you to know that I've noticed that. Even though, you know, for me, it's hard to be vulnerable sometimes and even say that, but that openness will lead to better sex. What?
I thought you were going to say something dirty. But it's true because then there's a connection, appreciation. It's that little, mm-hmm. you know, elephant in the room or whatever you want to say that breaks the ice, you know, and.
Well, I mean, you know, last night you.
Being appreciative.
Last night you went out with your friends.
Yeah.
Totally good. Now, I know you're going to come home late.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another thing that you do, by the way, but we'll talk about it later. You're like, oh, I'm gonna do a couple hours. I'm like, no, you're not. You know what I mean? Like you're not last night. I'm just saying in general. I knew you were gonna come home late.
Well, I also, it's like usually if you were to ask any of us, we were like, let's start early because it's a school night. We're gonna do this. And then we get there and no one, yeah, of course.
It's fine.
You know?
It's fine.
What I need to do is say to you is like, I'll be home at like 2.
Right. And then.
And then just come home at like yeah, midnight and
exactly.
then just surprise you.
Yeah, I love that. But
okay, learn something new. We're going to try it.
Even last night, I had to sort of check myself because my mind was, I was like, okay, you know, I know she's coming home late. And I didn't even think about when you were coming home. I would just put it out of my mind. But now I'm like, all right, well, is she drinking? And she's drinking, da 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 da, with her girls. It's a school day. We got to get up. And I'm like, am I going to take all the fucking kids to school? You know, because they're at the same school. But they're in like different weird buildings. The drop-offs get staggered. That's a whole other fucking podcast. But, you know, and I'm like, you know, she better wake up. I mean, like, I can't do this on my own. And I'm like, Oliver, shut the fuck up.
That's old self-talk. I'm so glad you noticed that.
No, I'm like, who gives a shit? Yeah, just get up and you do it. Whatever.
Because how
it's all
about,
good.
You know what it is?
It's this all
is
good,
this
but
is
I had
what
to
I say.
Sort of check myself.
This is what I say to that, because this is very, very important. In the beginning of a relationship, when you're falling in love and you, you know, want your person to love, you know, you and you love them, it's this feeling of like, oh my God, go have so much fun. Like, instead of this feeling of like, you know, she's going to be extra tired and I might have to do all the kids. It should be like, oh my God, she hasn't seen her friends. She's been gone all summer. She's finally, you know, having a night with her girlfriends. How fun. I hope she has a great time. Like when you go out to fish or, you know, golf, I'm like, oh, I know he's having the best time.
Not and fish. You think the boat's going to burn up and I'm going to drown and sink.
Right. Well, that's my own shit. But for you, in my mind, I'm like, I know you are literally like at your peak of happiness. That makes me happy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like instead of resentful, it's a, you know, that feeling mm-hmm. of like for your partner, you're all of a sudden mad at me and you're going into, you know, she going to be way, you know, drunk or like hungover or coming in late mm-hmm. and tired. And that's like a, not a nice way to think of it instead of, oh my God, I hope she had fun. And like, I'm glad she's with her girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And she deserves
Look,
that.
If everyone was this way, there'd be no divorce or there would be a lot less of it because that's true, open, vulnerable communication. So much easier said than fucking done. You know what I mean?
But like, I'm glad you caught yourself.
No, I
last
did.
Night.
But I'm just saying, like, it's hard. I just want to be clear about that. It's hard to be vulnerable.
For
like
you.
You talked to your therapist. We talked to our therapist, or you talked to a therapist, and they're like, you just like just communicate. Just tell her you appreciate her, or you know, tell her that da 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 da. And yeah, it's easier said than done. It's not that easy to just be I'm not getting upset. I'm just saying that. You know, it's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. For men and women. I think a lot more for men, you know, but
right.
You know, it's hard for a guy to just straight up out of nowhere, and at least for me,
I was just going to say very generally because there are guys that, and you know.
No, of course there are. Of course there are. I'm speaking for myself and then just
my dad.
Small group. What?
My dad.
Your dad, exactly. My small group of friends. But it's hard just unsolicited just to, you know, take your wife and look at her and be like, hey, you know what? I'm just thinking about it. You know, I just really appreciate you. And I just love all the things that you do for this family. And I recognize what you do around the house and how you are the, you know, the hand in the clock that makes it work. You're the one that ticks. I don't know what I'd do without you. Not an easy thing to just say.
Was that just like you were saying that to me?
I was doing acting.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I mean that.
Okay. So I'm like, are you?
I mean that, but it's not.
But it means
my
so
point
much.
Is, it's not easy just to
I know.
Sit your partner down.
Well, you don't have to sit
unsolicited.
Them down.
No, and just say, and say those things.
But think about it. That took 30 seconds. Little tiny thing for you to say means the world to the person receiving it. And it can shift the entire day mm-hmm. and relationship and all of that stuff. Sometimes it is that. It's not simple, but it or simplistic. What's Ellie's saying? No.
It's simple. It's not simplistic.
Yeah.
You're drowning in a cup. It's our therapist. We were in couples therapy for a minute, you know. We man
saved like, our marriage, basically.
He's like, you're drowning in a cup. I'm like, okay. He said that to me so over the however many years. I've been drowning in a cup for years.
You've like, never I still, said that to me. Isn't
really?
Weird? I've never heard that
oh
one.
Oh, my God. I'm always drowning in a cup. Jesus. And I'm always picturing it when he says it. I picture like a white ceramic tiny teacup.
What?
And me in there like, ah. But
you picture like a teacup?
Yeah, teacup.
Wow.
Drowning in a cup. Meaning, I guess.
Right. I was picturing a Dixie paper cup. I can get out if I want.
Meaning, just stand up and fucking get out of the cup.
Oh,
right?
Okay. I don't know.
I've never really asked him. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Might have to text him. But sometimes those little things just mean the world, and you don't even think it. You know, think much of it, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you. But words don't really matter.
They don't
for
matter.
You.
It's funny. It's like I was just about to say that. It's
love language. I just have to show you in touches and kisses and hugs and scratches and
yeah. I mean, if you're like, I think I appreciate you, it almost makes
during
me,
a hug.
No,
is that
no,
like I'm double
if you,
whammy?
If you said that to me, I mean, it's nice, but it doesn't get me. You know right. what I mean? Like, I almost deflect in a strange way. Like, compliments are hard for me to take. That's another thing I've been working on, is sort of taking a compliment. Like, hey, I loved you in this show. Or you yeah. do a finish a scene. And like, dude, that was fucking great or whatever. I'm like, thanks. Like, just don't say that. You know, so when I'm washing the dishes and you come in, you're like, babe, like, you washing the dishes. I'm like, oh, don't say that. Like, I'm like, eh.
But then what do I do? When do I say it? Because I want to show you the appreciation, acknowledge that you're doing it. And?
Little reach around. To the wing. Okay.
Silent reach around. That translates to thank you, mm-hmm. and I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, From now on. We got to go, babe. Oh, it's a morning pod.
A morning pod.
That was good, right?
Yep.
You know? Because when we were starting this
thing. A little
thing,
all over the place, but it was
I
good.
Know, but I like that. You know, Aaron's a fucking planner, and I am not. I mean, I hate plans. I like despise plans.
When you take out your calendar, sometimes at night we'll get into bed, and he'll open up his calendar as a joke. And he'll look at me, and he'll be like, babe, do you want a plan? And it is on.
Yeah, it's on.
Because I know he's joking now.
No, but sometimes when I do plan, you're like, are you planning? I'm like, babe, please, not now. Like, I really do want to figure this out.
Sometimes, but then.
Yeah, because you get like, are you planning? I'm like, oh, it's one of those things.
I know. I love it.
But you
I
don't
love
like
a calendar
to plan.
And I love planning.
You like to plan. I do not like to plan. So when we started this morning, dropped the kids off at school, we got to do it early. We got to get it in. Yeah, Aaron's getting her coffee, and I'm like, babe, we gotta fucking go, because Allison, our producer's waiting, and she's eating her little, like, peanut butter bar.
Not into the microphone.
I know, I'm just making the sound effect. I'm like, babe. She's like, well, what are we gonna talk about? We have no plan. I'm like, who cares? Let's just fucking go. And I think it turns out good.
It does turn out good, but we do have to meet in the middle. Sometimes you have to, like, just, you know, we don't have to have, like, a scheduled, like, you know, bullet point.
Well, we're doing this, you know, we're filling in. My sister's been working her butt off, doing cool shit. And we're filling in, even though it's not sibling revelry, we're not talking about siblings. This has been fun for you and I. The response has been really cool, honestly. We've gotten some amazing emails. Yeah, one in particular that brought me to tears.
I know.
And maybe we do this for real. Like, do our own thing at some point.
Yeah, it'd be so fun. I'm just like, are people going to get bored with, like,
I don't know,
the ins and outs of our relationship after a while?
Well, again, we have to plan.
See? Ooh, okay, we have to plan.
We need to get a petition going. And if we can get 100,000 signatures.
E-signatures? Yeah, and then what people would want to hear more of, too. But we already have stuff. We haven't even gone into kids, parenting.
It's, there's so much. Look, there's a million marriage podcasts out there. There's no doubt about it. But no one like us, babe. No one like us. All right. Till next time.
Okay.
I love you. Love you. Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you want to show us some love, rate the show and leave us a review. This show is powered by Simplecast.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day.
At Mrs. Meyers, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyers, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.